Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. We are going to read responsively verses 1 through 7. We'll read this passage. I'll pray. While I'm praying, my daughter and my wife are going to sing a special this morning. And then I'll come back and preach. And I just want you to listen today. Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2. I'll read verse 3, you join me on verse 4. We'll end up on verse 7 that way. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, would you do that which only you can do? Would you meet the needs of each and every person here? Lord, we're so thankful. We've seen great victory. We've seen accomplishment, but Lord, it's not over. It's just getting started. And there is yet much land to be taken and much work yet to be done. I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to listen. Help us to pay attention. And may we get the message that you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. If you'll listen to me, I'd ask that everybody remain in the auditorium and seated unless it's just an emergency. But I have an important message, and I say this, some of you might wonder, how does a preacher come up with his sermons? I can't tell you how some do it, but mine aren't gotten off the internet. I don't read a book and copy them down. The only book I read is that one right there. And over a year ago, when I knew that we were actually making this building happen, the Lord gave me a truth. I've been working on it for over a year now. Matter of fact, I told Brother Drolyard exactly what the title of my sermon was over a year ago. And I am going to preach that sermon to you this morning. The Jews have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses had been their leader, but Joshua became the leader. Moses had passed away. Joshua is about to take the Jews into the promised land, into what we now know as Canaan or Israel. But they have a hurdle to cross. They had got to get across the Jordan River. They had seen God part the Red Sea when they left Egypt, but the Jordan River was causing them some issues. God said, I have a way for you, Joshua, to do this. I'll do to you going into the promised land what I did for you leaving Egypt. He said, I will stop the waters of Jordan and you'll cross over on dry ground. He said, but before you do that, I want you to do something that may seem a little unusual. He said, before in the Jews would travel and the Ark of the Covenant would go first and they were to follow, he said, but before you do, I want you to choose out one man among all of the 12 tribes each to take a big rock, carry it on their shoulder, and you'll display it in such a way and build, the Bible uses the word, a memorial. In verse 7 it says, And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In other words, he said, I want you to place these so that in decades, years, and literally centuries later, there's a fly on the wall. Y'all are watching it. I can tell you were looking at something. You have the attention span of a gnat, all right? If you'd only pay attention to me that well, it would be great. Can I tell you? Told you we're not normal around here. So they were to place these stones in such a way that it became a memorial for generations to come. When they saw that, and young people would say, "Daddy, what are those stones there for?" It was to remind them how that God delivered them to get them into the promised land. It was a memorial. God said that these stones would be a memorial. A memorial is designed to preserve the memory of a person or an event. If you went 70 miles down the road to Washington, D.C., there are memorials everywhere. It is a reminder of our nation's history and our nation's past. Listen to me very carefully. Grace Baptist Church, this building, is not a memorial. This is a beautiful building. It's not a fancy building, but it's a beautiful building. There's been so much work done by so many people. Hard labor. The people in this room that have worked hard to pay the bills to get us to where we are. And on and on and on. And our church has done what most churches are not doing these days. We took 4 ugly, run-down acres of a broken down tree farm. I know where there's still some plastic pots on the property. We rented the biggest dumpster we could rent and filled it with plastic pots. There must have been 100,000 pots or more on here. Brother Barnes, how many tires did we haul out of here? 60 or 70 tires that were laying around. I mean, it was a couple truckloads. They were everywhere. Poison sumac everywhere. My wife got it 3 times from one time being out here. It's so bad that it was on her shoelaces, and every time she tied her shoes, she got sumac again. Went to the doctor in the hospital 3 times over that. You see, we took 4 old ugly acres of an abandoned nursery and turned it into what you see today. Remember the Sunday afternoon we met out here on the back of my Ford pickup truck? You all sat down in chairs. Brother Stoltz was here with his git fiddle, and we were singing and preaching. We had finally gotten the land, thanks to Brother Bossy and Jehovah Jireh. And you all kept saying, "Preacher, are you sure?" You couldn't see it, but I could. "Preacher, where's it going to be? How are you going to get it there?" Can I tell you something? Churches aren't pioneering anymore. They're just taking over things, converting things. There's nothing wrong with that, but it used to be churches had enough oomph in them that they would pioneer and do something. We started in a hotel conference room. Then we went to another hotel conference room because the other one was booked up. Sometimes we were in one conference room in one hotel on Sunday morning and a different hotel in a different conference room on Sunday night. And then we started renting an extra room to put the babies in so that y'all could hear me. And then we rented more rooms so that we could have Sunday school space. And then we finally got into a long-term rental with the old IRS warehouse down the road down here. You all remember that? And how we ever did that and why for as long, I have no idea, but $9,000 a month went out. And I knew we couldn't go any farther till we got the bills down to where we could save some money and get some loans. And so we went from that huge warehouse to the luxurious accommodations at Aiken Center. Where you had to breathe in syncopation so that you didn't suck air at the same time. Uncomfortable and scrunched in and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You all know what it was like. And look what God has done. Through though we have battled and we've conquered and we've won and we've lost and we've won, this building is not a memorial. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus was about to leave earth after the resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is called the Great Commission. This church is not a memorial, it is a commission. You see, a commission is an instruction or a command or a duty given to a person or a group of people. It is a group of people officially charged with a particular function. It is the authorizing of the production of something. Grace Baptist Church, this is not our church. It's His church.
Amen.
It is not our work. It's His work.
Right.
And it's not a memorial so that people can say, someday, look at that beautiful church building. No, it is a commission to go out and help people.
Right.
We have a little motto here at Grace Baptist Church. We're a hospital, not a museum.
Amen.
In other words, we're a place where people come get help. It's not to look around at all the artifacts of what was. Too many churches are a museum of what was, and they're not doing anything today. It's a place of death, not a place of life. Look around, it's alive here.
Amen.
Say why? Because I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives, He lives. You see, Jesus did not intend for the church to be a memorial. It's not supposed to be in representation of what was. It is alive and it's to be living today.
Amen.
See, it's supposed to be, as my preacher used to say, a people factory. We're supposed to be producing people, helping people. We are to be doing the work of God, not to be doing the work of man. We here at Grace believe our church is a hospital, not a museum. It's not a memorial, it's a great commission. What is the commission that Jesus gave the church in Matthew chapter 18 and there in other places? I'll tell you what it is. Number one, Grace Baptist Church and the church is supposed to be a place to get the gospel out to lost people. Bible says in the book of Romans, and you don't need to turn there, just let me read Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. The Bible says, "How then shall they call on in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings and good things." Can I tell you something? Mark chapter 16, verse number 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we won't turn there right now, but the Bible says that the gospel is hid to them that believe not by the devil. The devil's got everybody fooled into thinking that church is to be like what man wants and not like what God wants. Everybody hang on to your seats for a second. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, not afraid to tell it like it is. Can I tell you something? You're not going to reach the world by being like the world. Too many churches have become like the world to try to reach the world. The word church means ekklesia. It's the Greek word which means called out assembly. We are not supposed to be like the world. We're to come out from the world and be separate. Because can I tell you something? The god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is the devil. You can't use the devil's methods to get God's message out. You can't use the devil's music to get God's message out. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. You don't set up a hospital on Skid Row out on the sidewalk to reach the people on Skid Row. You build a hospital and bring the people of Skid Row to the hospital. You're not going to set up a surgical ward out in the middle of Fifth Street in L.A. I used to preach in a rescue mission when I was in California on Fifth Street in downtown L.A. How many of you ever remember the old timers? Remember the show Hill Street Blues had the sign? They'd show at the beginning of it all the street people living in cardboard boxes. That was filmed on Fifth Street in L.A. I used to preach in a rescue mission down there. Fill up 300 people in a rescue mission. Go down there and preach and see people get saved. I could tell you some stories, let me tell you. I took my mom and dad down there one time. They would only go one time. It was not fun for them, but I enjoyed it for sure. Can I tell you something? You don't set up a hospital in the middle of the street to reach the people that live on the street. You don't set up a church based on what people want to do God's work. That's the instruction book. If you say, why is America in such bad shape today? Because you have preachers who have spaghetti spines that are wet noodles and are afraid to stand up for what God said. Don't shoot the messenger. I didn't write it. I just preach it. And part of that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, it's supposed to be about keeping people out of hell, not making people feel good while they're on their way to hell. Right. You know, in America, it's become offensive to say we're all sinners, but guess what? We're all sinners. Right. I'm a sinner just like you are. You look at that ugly face, you know he's a sinner. Can I tell you something? We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. You say, well, that's offensive to me. I don't care. I didn't say it. God did, and you know you're a sinner. Proof you're all sinners, you're all going to die. So am I. We don't know when it'll be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 50 years from now. We're like my grandmother. She lived to be 99 and a half. I preached her funeral a year and a half ago. But guess what? We're all going to die. America is a mess today because people are afraid to say we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. But can I tell you something? It's not just this old ugly flesh that's going to die. It's what's inside of you that has to go forever somewhere, either to heaven or to hell. Well, I don't think you ought to talk like that, preacher. Well, if you listen to the word of God, you'll find out Jesus talked about hell twice as much as he talked about heaven, and he lived in heaven.
Right.
Say, so you're just one of those kind. Yep, I am. Hang on. That penalty of sin is death. Not just the body, but the spirit and the soul. According to Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The job of the church is not to make people feel good about their sin, but to warn them about it and to give them the gospel so they don't have to die and go to hell. God did not make hell for man. I hear this all the time. Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He does not.
That's right.
What happened in Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer, the devil, when he was in heaven as an archangel, he sinned, God kicked him out, and made hell a super torture chamber for the devil and the angels that followed him. That happened before the creation of man. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, if you remember, it was the serpent, the devil, that came to Adam and Eve and said, wouldn't you like to be like God? Would you like to know right and wrong, good and evil for yourself? And man yielded to the devil. He sinned and committed the very same sin that the devil committed. Guess what? God's justice required same penalty for same sin. That's why in the book of Matthew it says, hell hath enlarged herself. Hell had to be enlarged because man became a sinner and was destined for hell. Can I tell you something? Jesus came to pay our sin debt for us.
Amen.
He left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood at Calvary, and up from the grave he arose. He conquered death. He didn't do that for the devil, but he did do it for you and me. For you to die and go to hell, you are violating what God wanted you to do. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He didn't die for the devil and the angels. He died for you and for me. You don't get to heaven by what you do, because you're a sinner. I don't care how many good things you do. It's not good enough to get you there. It's not by what church you're a member of. You could join this church and die and go to hell. Just like if you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Doesn't matter what building you're in. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized or how many different ways you've been baptized. You can get baptized in a baptistry, in a creek, in a pond, in a lake. You can get baptized till you know every tadpole by name, but you could still die and go to hell. Baptism doesn't wash anything away but dirt.
Amen.
It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ after you get saved.
Right.
Has nothing to do with going to heaven. Matter of fact, one of the thieves on the cross next to Jesus said, "Lord, would you save me?" And he said, "I will. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." He didn't get down and get baptized.
Right.
It's not by how smart you are.
Intellectualism
doesn't get anybody to heaven.
Right.
I realize I'm probably not the highest IQ in the room. Higher than some. Don't laugh too loud, Scott. You know, I may not be the smartest man in the room, but I'm smart enough to know this. 48 years ago as a child, I realized I was a sinner. An old one-legged Vietnam War vet. Stood in a primary church with an old wooden leg, Mr. Humphreys. Got his leg shot off in Vietnam. Got to remember, this is back in the early 1970s. The war was still going on. He got up one day and preached about hell. A little 4 or 5 year old boy walked over to his Sunday school teacher and tugged on her skirt and said, "I don't want to die and go there." She knelt me down at a little kindergartner's type chair and opened the Bible and showed me how to get saved.
Amen.
And this old preacher had been saved for the last 48 years.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I'm just as saved as Jesus Christ is.
That's right.
You know, you don't get saved and have to do something to keep it.
Right.
If you have to do something to keep it, you tried to earn it to get it. It's what it is. You see, the Bible says that it is a free gift and you accept it by faith. By faith, you accept it. Well, I just have a hard time with my intellectual brain understanding all this. He didn't say understand him. He said trust him with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, man wants to be his own God. He wants to try to figure it out before he does it. Number two, the church is not a place of historical events that was. It's not to be a museum of the past. Okay, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to say it. Too many churches have more people buried out back than attend every week. And usually inside it's just as dry and cold as the cemetery, and everybody's got their name on the chair already like a headstone. And may I say this, most of the members visit it like the cemetery just a couple times a year for special events. Hospitals don't display the bodies of those that they helped years ago. You're not going to go to a hospital and see a body that was helped 150 years ago by that hospital. Say, why? It's a little dry, a little dusty. Say, what is a hospital? The success of a hospital is their patients are able to leave and keep on going.
Amen.
Oh, they may not always be perfect. They may not be able to go painlessly. They may not always last long, but they do their best to keep them going for as long as they can go. That is exactly what a church is all about. You see, the church is not a shrine. Let me say this, and I mean this respectfully. Recently, the Cathedral of Notre Dame was burned in France. Now, I am not happy about any church building being burned down. I'm not happy about any house being burnt down. This has nothing to do with that I would be happy about anybody's facility being burnt to the ground. That's tragic. But there was a premium of time and effort placed on saving the historical items of Notre Dame. Brother Barnes, can you turn me down just a hair? It might be the monitor, but I hear just a little ring. Again, I'm not happy about the fire. But let me ask you a question. What are those historical things doing to keep anybody out of hell? Who's going to get the gospel because of those things? Folks, I know it's a plain building. But can I tell you something? The gospel will be preached here.
Amen.
Lives will be changed here. Eternities will be influenced here. Man sitting right back there on that back row. That's my buddy. About 6 weeks ago, Brother Barnes and I knocked on his door. He's dying of cancer. Sat down at the table. Trent and I talked. I opened up that very New Testament right there. Showed him how you could know for sure he's going to heaven. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. A few days later, was in hospice. Spent, 10, 12 days in hospice? Got out, and he's at church this morning.
Amen.
Trent, I'm glad you're feeling better, but guess what? We're all going to get sick and die someday. But can I tell you something? Say, what's keeping him going? I think God changed his heart and God changed his life. And even if he didn't spare it much longer, at least he knows where he's going when he does go.
Amen.
I walked into hospice and he was in bad shape. And I said, Trent, where are you going? He said, heaven. I said, how do you know? He said, we took care of that just not long ago. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. So church is not a place of past historical events and things. Number three, our church is not a memorial in ages to come. People shouldn't wonder what this place was.
Amen.
They shouldn't wonder what this place was. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 6, let me read it to you, that says that this may be a sign among your children, that when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Everybody listen to me. You're looking at a man that lives in the emergency rooms of life. It's amazing how many people don't know what a church is or how to behave or what it's supposed to be for. Church isn't an entertainment center where you have a rock concert and make yourself feel good about Jesus.
Amen.
Hate to disappoint you. It's not an alternative when you don't have anything left to do on Sunday. It's not a place to go a couple times a year and throw a few bucks in the offering plate to make yourself feel good like you did what you should to maybe get yourself in heaven. Mm-mm. It's not supposed to be a TV show. Everybody doing okay? It's not time for a guy to get up with a little Garth Brooks microphone, sit on a chair with a turtleneck sweater, and let's have a little talk about Jesus and have a motivational speak.
Come on.
Amen.
Time to open the Word of God and preach the devil out of everybody.
Amen.
Give you hope in the Scriptures.
Amen.
But may I say something very clearly here? America has gotten so far away from God that we don't even know how to behave in church anymore. And kids don't even know what church is for. You answer my phone calls. Find out how bad it is. Chris got a phone call this week from a distant state. A bus captain runs a bus route, my hometown. And she said, "Craig, I need you to pray. I have an 11-year-old girl from Guatemala who's pregnant by a 26-year-old man. Wake up, America. Church is not supposed to be a memorial. It is a commission." She texted me yesterday. She said, "Craig, the little girl sat on the couch when I went to visit her with her mama, with her thumb in her mouth, and she really doesn't even know what's going on." Fortunately, the man's in jail. Needs horse whipped every day. Say, why does that happen, preacher? Because America's gotten so far away from God that church is a place we play. It's an entertainment center. It's a cultural experience. Well, do you know what the root word of culture is? Cult. Tired of the culture. You can be nice to somebody while they die. You can be nice to somebody and have pretty music while they die and go to hell. How about we give them the gospel and care enough about somebody to tell them the truth? Amen. Religion in America is man telling God how God must accept man. Too many churches are about, according to the book of Jude, in verse number 11, it says, "Thou hast gone in the way of Cain." Cain, in Genesis chapter 5, told God, "God, you either accept what I have, or it's not good enough for you, too bad." And God said, "Cain, I don't have respect to your sacrifice. You have brought me a plant sacrifice. I asked for a blood sacrifice." And Cain would not accept the way that God told him to do it. And God said, in our nation today, we have gone in the way of Cain. Religion's all about, God, you'll accept what I do or it's not good enough. Accept the way we do it. Matter of fact, we'll even rewrite your book to make it more acceptable to us. We're not supposed to rewrite the book. We're supposed to reread it and relive it. Churches have catered to people to give them what they want. How about we give God what he wants? How about we do it God's way, not man's way? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Say, what does God want? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let me read it to you. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Say, what does God want? Everybody to die and go to hell? No. He wants them to all die and go to heaven. He loves you so much that he gave you away so that you could. I'm not asking you to join my church. I'm not asking anybody to be baptized. I'm not asking you to come back to my church. I'll do that later. No. I'd rather you know for sure that when you died, you took your last breath here, that you woke up in heaven and not in hell. Amen. I've watched hundreds of people die. There is nothing more tragic than watching somebody die and writhe in pain as they go to hell. I've watched it. I've heard dying men on their dying breath say, "Oh my God, I'm on fire, I'm on fire. Oh my God," as they went into eternity. And you don't sleep for about 3 days thereafter. But I've been with hundreds as they pass and go to heaven. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet. You happy about people dying? No. I'm thankful for a real place called heaven. A real place called heaven. Real place where those of you ladies that have lost babies could go. Those babies are there. Just an hour and a half, an hour 45 minutes ago. My son texted me and said he's taking his wife to the ER because she lost another baby, number 3. It's okay. That baby's in heaven. I got 3 perfect grandkids. They're in heaven. My heart breaks for them. But can I tell you something? I said, Josh, he said, I know. Heaven's real, Dad. It's okay. He said, God must love our kids. Yes, he does. Whew. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday? I'm not asking you about some experience. I'm not asking you to have some kind of weird feeling. Do you know that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? That's the most important thing of this church. Oh, I think we ought to be good to one another. I think we ought to help people. But not as a way to heaven, but because we're on our way to heaven. Those are things you do because you're saved, not to get saved. You see, Grace Baptist Church, we are not a memorial. We have been given a commission. It's not over because the building's open. It's pretty full this morning, but guess what? There's over 200,000 people in this drivable area very close from here that need reached. Let me ask you a question. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? I hate to ask this question, but I will. Who's going to be in hell because of you? Are you willing to be part of the commission? Are you willing to trust what he said? You're looking at an old-fashioned preacher. I just happen to believe God. And Jeff, 2.5 years ago, I talked to you for hours on the phone. And I said, I'll work as hard as it takes to make this happen. I've got the greatest people in all the world. I've got the greatest commission in all the world, and I happen to believe God simply by faith. Over $300,000 have come in on top of our tithes and offerings regularly. And by the way, we're over budget every week on our tithes and offerings. Hundreds of dollars over. Based on this budget, not on the one we had. Say, how's that happen? Did you raise a lot of money? I haven't asked anybody for anything. Just him. We have a pretty big God. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If not, we'll take care of it. I'd ask you that you bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done. If you would be real still for just a few moments. But would you be honest for just a moment? I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I won't ask you to do something against your will. But who would say, preacher, if I died right now, I know 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put those hands down, ye. There were many that couldn't go up. Who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that someday. I'd like to know how I could go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? Someone else? All right. You may put them down. If you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in baptism, we can take care of that today. We're ready. Nothing to do with going to heaven. It's just getting wet. But it just lets everybody know you've been saved. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. And that sermon was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens, most hands. In a moment, I'll point to the pianist. When I do, he'll begin to play. As he begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, would you let somebody take the Bible? If you're a man, I'll have a man. A lady, I'll have a lady. Show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you'd like to join an old-fashioned Baptist church, we're here. I wouldn't force anybody to. Maybe you just don't need to come to this altar and kneel and pray. Whatever the need is,